Okay, maybe that 45 seconds was long. So my clock says 9:02. That's when I like to start, especially since we have some front matter that's pretty straightforward. So welcome to the Credentials Community Group's first call of 2020. Manu, you are awesome, especially for being a scribe. So thank you for already diving into that. Let me go through real quick. We're going to do an agenda review and then we'll dive in. Really what we're talking about today is a number of things. Specifically, we want to look at where are we in terms of a 2020 update and roadmap. For the year ahead, what are we doing? Is there anything we need to prioritize here? We're not going to dive yet into the charter and election stuff, but we are going to be doing that this month. But so we're going to talk about where's the DID working group, where's the VC working group, and the charter. The new, actually, Kim, I apologize. I wasn't sure what we'd call it in terms of the task force, which is the educational credentials work that you kicked off. And then also get an update on the DID resolution work and where that's going. And then we have a new work item proposal we wanted to put on the table for the longest chunk of time today, which is the credential issuer and verifier APIs. We've had some good conversations about that on the email list. So we'll be spending some time talking about that. So that's the short form of our agenda. Feel free to jump on the queue if you have any questions or anything you would like to add to the agenda. A quick IP note, we go over this every time, and it is in the agenda email that went out. Anyone can participate, but if you have not signed the collaborators' contributors agreements and formally joined the working group, then we ask you to limit your contributions to not include substantive technical contributions. Now, what that means is subject to moderation by the chairs, but basically, please join the group if you haven't already. It's a fairly lightweight agreement. Just make sure that our intellectual property is clear so that whatever we do here can move on to standards track efforts at W3C or elsewhere. We use IRC. To keep track of these calls, both within the call and as a way of forming minutes. So we manage the queue there. You can use Q plus to add yourself. The one thing I'll highlight here, I don't like going through all the bullet points, is please type present plus altogether, which actually I haven't done yet. So if you haven't seen that, it'll show up. But what that does is it lets our minute-taking system note that you attended. So everyone who's on the call and in IRC should do that. If you can only call in and you want to put yourself on the queue, just politely interrupt and say, please add me to the queue, and someone will take care of that. Similarly, if you are only on IRC, we're welcome to take your contributions. Just use the IRC and we'll get you in the queue, and someone will share it with those who are only on the call. But we want to maintain a single conversation, not a bunch of back channel stuff. Although, of course, there are some comments that happen in IRC. That's inevitable. But we'd like to keep us focused on a single conversation. Next up would be scribe selection. But Manu, I see you've already signed up. Is that correct?
Yep.
Excellent. Thank you, Manu. Much appreciated. Okay, next up is introductions and reintroductions. Is there anyone on the call who's new, who hasn't been on a CCG call before?
Hello, this is Carl DiClemente. I am the VP of Product at Factum Inc. I'm joining the SVIP cohort on some of the work, such as the verifier and issue API. And yeah, I'm very happy to be here, everybody. And I also have Sam Barnes here with me as well, and maybe a couple others on the call from our organization.
Okay, welcome, Carl.
Awesome.
Sam,
Hi.
do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Sam Barnes. I've been in here at Factum for about 2 years now.
and have largely been working on the identity CID related code for our Factum blockchain.
Excellent. Thank you both for joining us. We're glad to have Factum as part of the conversation. Anyone else who's new?
Hi, this is Wayne Chang. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, Wayne.
I work at Consensus. I'm also active in the Decentralized Identity Foundation, where I spend a lot of time in the claims and credential groups there. So my objective here is to figure out collaboration points and prevent duplication of efforts.
Excellent. Glad you joined us, Wayne. And someone else?
Hi, yeah, this is Tim Bauma from the Government of Canada, Treasury Board Secretariat. I am responsible for developing what's called the Pan-Canadian Trust Framework. So, and we're starting to get involved with the verifiable credentials. Likely, I will have there will be some of our other federal colleagues joining the call on a regular basis from our Innovation, Science, and Economic Development Department. But I thought I'd join this call to just get a sense of the group. So, thanks for having me.
Excellent. Well, thanks for joining us, Tim. Anyone else?
Yes, this is Anil John from DHS Silicon Valley Innovation Program, finding some work around this area. And since one of the work items has something to do with what we are working on, thought I would join the call today.
Excellent. Thank you, Anil. Glad to have you. All right. That's a lot of new folks. Anyone else? Okay, and as part of that, we'd like to do a reintroduction since obviously the new folks weren't around for their prior introductions. If anyone would like to reintroduce themselves, just jump on the queue. I'm going to go through the list of possible candidates. If no one jumps on, who's excited to tell us again who you are and why you're here? Juan Caballero, are you on the call?
Hi, I am.
How about you reintroduce yourself?
Oh, sorry. I'm Juan Caballero. I am working for a lot of different people, but primarily for Sparity. And I'm just happy to be here. Just want to make sure I have everyone's make sure I've got the story right.
Okay, great. Thanks, Juan. All right. With that, our next item then is announcements and reminders. So first up is there is a working group face-to-face meeting for the DID working group in Amsterdam at the end of January, so the end of this month. So there's still time to attend. If you're part of the working group, you've probably already heard about this. Dan Burnett, I don't see you in IRC. Oh, yeah, there you are. Dan, can you speak to the opportunity for someone who's not a working group to attend as a participant? I know we've done that in the past, but I'd rather have you frame it than have me misstate the opportunity.
Sure, happy to. Yes, we are. We welcome – the official term is observers, so we welcome observers at our face-to-face meetings. If you are interested in observing, please contact the chairs. That would be me or Brent Zendel. And the best way to find us is to actually look for our email addresses on the mailing list rather than me dropping an email address in public minutes. But we're happy to have you join as observers. What that would mean is that we would ask you not to make substantive contributions along those same lines as what you heard Joe say at the beginning of this call. But substantive contributions, all that means is specific technical suggestions for how the specification work should be done. We absolutely need use cases, issues that you found with the specification, all of those are exactly problems that we need to solve. We just can't accept solutions from you without the IPR agreements that come along with membership. But we would love to have you there and love to have you participate. We have a number of people who have joined us as observers and then eventually participated as members in the group down the road.
Excellent. Thank you, Dan. Okay, next announcement is rebooting the web of Trust 10. It's kind of surprising we're all the way up to 10. So that is going to be March 16th through the 20th in Buenos Aires, Argentina. And we now have the Eventbrite Live, so you can, in fact, go buy your tickets. That is, I'm just typing that in. And it's just rwot10.eventbrite.com. Should be easy to remember. A couple of important things to note. One, the event starts Monday night. So we're experimenting with a way to start the discussion around topic papers and a Monday night event. And we'll have more details for that for attendees as we're moving forward. But just if you're starting to plan your travel, please be there Monday night. If not, you will miss out on a significant portion of kickstarting the event. And then the second thing, what is the second thing? Oh, the early bird deadline is coming up fast. We've done a lot to sort of try and streamline and professionalize and organize, but we're still a little bit behind the curve. The deadline for early bird paper submissions is January 17th. Now, topic papers just need to be 1 to 2 pages. We actually prefer shorter ones because we'd like everyone to read them. So if you submit an 8 or 10 or 20-page topic paper, it's really kind of a pain. So put some thoughts on a piece of paper about what you'd want to do and submit it to GitHub. And the information for that is all in that Eventbrite or information on or the Eventbrite links to an additional primer on how to do all of that. But just to note, the deadline for early bird topic papers is coming up quickly. So if you'd like to join us in Argentina, please do that. We do also will be offering some scholarships and travel stipends. So if you feel your voice is a unique perspective that will add some diversity and your company isn't flush for a trip to the Southern Hemisphere, you can apply for that as well, and we'll be publishing more information about that. But you will need to get a paper in by the 17th in order to be considered for that. So for both early bird and for consideration for scholarships and travel stipends, please get a topic paper in the next 10 days. Today's the 7th. Okay, so that's rebooting the web of trust. And then we do have the dedicated DID resolution calls, which are resuming in January, like we did. They took a break for the holiday season. So those are Thursday, 1 p.m. Pacific, which is 2000 hours UTC. And those are 90-minute calls that go every Thursday. We did have a task to close out action items in 2020. There are a few that are still open because there were some requests to do that. So we're still looking at that. So if you have things that have been lying around and not getting traction, we are going to be closing them. So if you care about some of those dangling issues or work items, please put some time into them and at least let us know that you're moving them forward and let us see some progress on that. Otherwise, we're basically just trying to make sure that our time on this call and our time as a community is focused on things that are getting traction. Any other announcements or reminders, feel free to jump on the queue. I see Marcus is on the queue. Go ahead, Marcus.
Just about the weekly DID resolution calls. Everything you said was correct. We will resume them this week. Are they only 60 minutes now instead of 90 minutes?
That's 60 minutes. Okay, great. Thank you. All right, anyone else? Okay, seeing no one, let's move on to, wow, we got through the front matter, 16 minutes. I'm stoked about that. Well, 14 if you ignore the two-minute buffer at the beginning. Oh, progress on action items. Sorry, we did not get through it. I got ahead of myself. Okay, so let me drop this URL. So these are the action items we wanted to bring to our attention just to get a quick status on where we're at. So VC Chairs is send email about CCG. I believe we did that. Dan, we can close this, right?
I'm not sure. Just a sec.
I believe
I sent that, but
yeah,
it would have been before the holidays. So, like, I've forgotten everything that happened before, you know, Christmas, basically.
That's right. I did see one thing go out. I don't know. We might want to send another one. I know some people missed it. In fact, in our chair conversation, I think I was the only one who noted it in the midst of the holiday kerfuffle. But also, it didn't quite clearly ask for volunteers. So if you're, you know, if you want to reach out to that group to say, hey, come over to CCG and help volunteer. But let me just flag you, Dan. I think that was to support your ongoing work as the chair of those two groups, or of the maintenance
yes.
group. So either send another email or you can go ahead and close it out if you're satisfied with the transition support there.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, next one, SIP. Some people have had problems with SIP. It's fascinating. This has evolved around the corner quite a bit. Initially, I couldn't get on a couple of years ago. I finally got on SIP working. And I think the status here was Amy Guy, who had just gone through it, had said she would write something up. But I don't know if she's on the call.
She sent her regrets earlier, I think.
Okay. Thanks. So we'll keep that around. It'd be great. I also just walked someone through the process, and not only did they used OnSIP, which is what I use on Windows, but they put it on their mobile, and I couldn't help them at all because I don't have it on my mobile. So there's still some onboarding issues here. Hopefully we can round the corner with Amy and get a draft, then we can get some input and contributions to other platforms on. So, okay, so that's SIP not working. Number 75, discuss registry's meta process. And this has sort of...
You can call on me.
Okay, go ahead, Kim.
Okay. So, yes, I updated this one because I noted that the AB has been working on this offline. I think Christopher told them that in the CCG we're interested in the concept of managing ongoing registries, but we were kind of doing our own thing. And so the AB has been iterating on that, discussing offline. And in this link is a draft proposal of their generic registry process. So because we had an action item talking about CCG, you know, the meta process for CCG registries, it seemed like a good opportunity to review what the W3C AB has done and make sure our work aligns with that. I think that will save us a fair bit of duplicate effort so that we can just sort of call out anything that the CCG does that differs from the W3C general rules, which in theory should be minimal. And possibly we would just be saying CCG specific rules for spinning up a registry, things like that. So this is just a general note that we should be able to update our registry's meta process pretty simply now that they have done that.
Great. Thanks, Kim. So I want to specifically call out the current registry editors. I'm not sure how many registries we have. I know we have the method registry, and we have a couple of others. I'm sure it's
like
in our work
four,
item.
Three or four.
So if you are an editor of one of those registries, please go look at that link that was not only in the IRC, but it's also in this issue. And see if it breaks anything from how you have been or how you want to run that registry. This is our chance to coordinate with the W3C on the whole larger process. And you guys are the most authoritative in terms of how you want to run the registry and how the registry has been working or failing for you. So go ahead, Manu.
Yeah, just as a heads up, we did meet with the breakout session for the registries and asked a lot of questions about whether or not it would work for us. And based on what we heard, it felt like it was completely aligned with the way we've been running the registries. We should look to make sure they haven't made any large breaking changes to it, but by and large, I think we can just continue to operate as we've been operating and point to that document as the formal process. That's it.
Okay, great. Thank you, Manu. I want to note, Alexis, I'm not sure if we've met, but yeah, the Linfode SIP thing, I don't know if there's someone who might be able to engage with you on a direct message channel, but yeah, we do need to get that OnSIP stuff working. So try OnSIP.com, as Manu just suggested. I'll just note, yes, we feel your pain. I think I went through that for a couple of years before I figured it out. Apologies that it's not magically as easy as AT&T. Okay, next up is the JWK Crypto Suite specification. This is issue 18. So this has been around for a year, and we haven't seen a whole lot of progress. So unless we see some, I think we'd like to close this out. I see David did engage with a comment. David Chadwick, thank you for that, David. I don't know if you're on the call. I don't know, Chris, if you're on the call, or Kim, do you guys want to speak to what we need to do here? Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, so the state of the crypto suites is very poor. And
Chris, your audio is a little light. It sounds like maybe your microphone isn't well positioned.
Hold on. Any better?
A little bit.
Okay. So our spot, we have somewhat authority over the crypto suites, in at least moral authority, if not actual authority, as we run the DBCG. And we're trying to close out these items that are, either incorrect or really outdated or or whatever. And, one, we have the problem of the JSON LD description that is in the DBWG is way out of date, and yet people are referring to it and going, oh well, we're planning on implementing that, and it's completely inaccurate. And then we have all kinds of discussions about, oh well, we're not going to use JSON-LD, we're going to use JWTs, and yet there is no cryptos suite description for it in DBWG. So, and what we have is this kind of stub. At this point, if we don't see some progress on either of these, I think we're just going to archive them and say prominently at the top, do not use, no replacement, because we don't have a replacement yet. I'm very disappointed in this. It's causing knee headaches, and I'm reasonably knowledgeable, and I keep on running into others that are going, oh well, we're going to do this, and I'm telling them, don't look at those documents. So that's it.
Okay,
Now I'm saying 30 days. We've been talking about this for a year. It's been on. We keep on bringing it up over and over again. So, it's a new year, time to call it. So,
Manu, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with closing some of the issues down. I think the challenge here is that people haven't been doing the work, right? So, the work is being done in certain places and not others, which means primarily that the work's been largely happening in the implementation sphere and not in the spec sphere. And we haven't been doing stuff in the spec sphere because we're waiting for things to progress at W3C around a potential working group for this stuff. Anyway, so I would be very concerned about closing all of this stuff down, because then there is zero anything, right? The documents that are there are wrong, right? But telling people that there is no JWT or linked data proof signatures mechanism to do anything that we're doing, I don't think is accurate. There are implementations. The implementations work and have worked for many years. What's missing is someone sitting down and writing the spec to fall in line with implementations. And the challenge over the past 3 or 4 years has been, this back and forth between the JWT and linked data, proof signature stuff. So I'm fine with the group saying we're not going to work on this stuff anymore, as long as everyone understands that work continues outside of this group on it, specifically on implementations. And at some point, we will probably go and update the specs. It's just, out of the many fires that all of us are trying to tend to, it's low enough on the list, right? The DID working group is higher priority. The verifiable credential stuff is higher priority. So I think it's really just a matter of priority. It's not a matter of, the technology doesn't work. It's the priority isn't high enough. Community priority on it's not high enough for us to have picked it up and focused on it. And this is going to be doubly difficult this year because now everyone's, excited about the encrypted data vault stuff, or at least, data vaults in general. And that is once again going to kind of knock the priority of the specs down. So the only way we're going to make progress is if somebody volunteers and does the hard work of writing the spec. It's not a very hard spec to write, but everyone's, up their neck in work right now. That's it.
Okay, I put myself on the queue to respond to that. Two things. One is both of these are valuable. In fact, when I say that, I mean also this next issue, which we haven't queued up yet, but it's a similar sort of languishing spec-related work. One of the things we, speaking as a co-chair, want to do, Manu, is move this from implementers doing their own thing in isolation in a way that nobody else can work with to something that's in a public conversation that we can refer to publicly, even if it's in draft form. So that's some of the motivation for, we need to get it out of that space where it's proprietary, isolated work. What I would like to propose to you, Manu, and others who care about this, if we're trying to create a working group, well, it turns out this particular credentials community group has done a pretty good job at incubating specs that become working groups, but it's not happening here. So either let's get a proposed charter into the credentials community group, or let's acknowledge that something other than this credentials community group is picking up the baton. And if you're working with the W3C to create a group that's not being driven here, great. Then you should take on this work and have it be a part of that. So personally, I would totally support a task force or whatever who's about supporting a working group. But we need to do something for this languishing stuff. Next up, I think I saw Chris on the queue.
Yeah, so I think also, I would be up for, deleting these somewhat and replacing them with, here is a JSON-LD example that Digital Bazaar gave us, and, contact person is Dave Longley or whatever, because that's exactly the situation that came up, which was, you guys have an implementation, you have a, but we, people are going, but that doesn't look like JSON-LD. it's got JWT in it because they don't understand it. And there's nobody to go to, there's nobody to point to, there's no current implementation listed to point them to. So, if it was ended up just being, five lines, here's the a brief example of a JWT. Here's the repo that generated it, and here's a contact person. It would be better than the current state, which is just wrong, and I think hurting us with new people who come in and go, well, these guys aren't real because, you know, that's crap.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. Ori.
Yeah, so I'm one of these people who wants to see these registries not be marked as unusable. So I also recognize it's been a main, it's been, man is right, like the work is just not getting done. There's a couple issues that are all tied into this in one thing. One is that there's a lot of, the specs are floating around in many separate repos, and so it becomes very, you have to like crawl across a number of history repos to get the current context of something. And if you look at the commit dates on the repos, it's ancient, and you know, you're going to assume they're dead basically. And it's anyone's fault for looking at a repo, seeing the last commit as, you know, 4 years ago and just assuming the project is dead. You know, that is what you should do when you come across a repo on GitHub that doesn't have sort of clear language around that. So I think I'm in favor of marking anything that's stale for more than a couple of years as supported, like just, you know, for the sake of creating clarity for the community. I'm also really in favor of, I'm late to the whole party, and so I don't understand the difference between the DBCG and the CCG, but I'd love to see 100% of these registry repos consolidated and centralized in one place. If they're describing a crypto, you know, registry spec or something like that, I'd like love to see them in one place instead of in a number of different repos across separate GitHub organizations. It's much easier to do things if they're all in one place. And so I think what we should do is we should mark each of the repos that are separate, ones that don't have many commits to them in many years. We should mark them as, you know, unsupported, you know, and we should move ones that we care about and we want to continue to maintain into a single centralized location. And I also agree that there should be the responsible individuals who are points of contact for them. And those can be the repo owners or, you know, whatever, but we have to have a way of knowing, you know, who's responsible for maintaining these registries and whether or not they're actually supported. And, you know, so I'm in favor of addressing this in the new year. And I'm also willing to help, like, to the extent to which I can.
Thank you,
Okay, Roy. Great. Thank you. Yeah, we're going to call you on that. Cause, one note, I know we still have Dimitri in the queue. I want to take some of this to the GitHub issues list so we can come up with a concrete solution. I think, you know, I think there's some sense that just closing it and just doing that is not quite enough. So, let's try and find a better option here. Go ahead, Dimitri.
Sure. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
All right. So wanted to say a couple words about the specs. One is to clarify that there's definitely ongoing activity on at least the linked data part of the specs. So we have a couple of problems. One is keeping the specs up to date. So that's just a matter of eyeballs and effort. Second problem is one that I'd like to discuss, which is that of jurisdiction, which is, for example, with the DID context, which repo and which W3C group gets to host it, right? So right now the context is in limbo. It's sort of in the archived CCG, in the archived CCG did spec, but not in the did working group, so it's completely in limbo. And I think that's part of the friction that Christopher Allen mentioned about the registries, spec itself and then the context. So several of the contexts are in limbo, so we need to figure out and transfer where it is they're being hosted and whether or not we're going to version them. And lastly, the third problem is because we're dealing with such long-running work been working on this credential stuff for over 5 years, longer really. Some of the registry specs are, and Ori mentioned this, are housed over at the DVCG. And I think Joe or Christopher mentioned this last year, but we are in the process of moving all of the DVCG repos to the CCG. And I don't know if whether we need a formal CCG work item to do that, but we definitely have the action item of moving all of the repos to the CCG org on GitHub, so that it's the jurisdiction and the write access and all that stuff is much clearer. So work is ongoing. We're looking for volunteers for the Jose part of it. We're moving the repos from DVCG into CCG, and we need to figure out whether we're hosting where we're hosting the context of it.
Okay, I like that. So, Dimitri, could you take that set of action proposals and put them in the issue thread?
Sure. So, that sounds so nice question and concrete. For the chairs. Question for the chairs. Do we need formal CCG action items to move the repos? Or are they sort of legacied in because?
So speaking on my own, since obviously I haven't had a chance to round with Kim and Chris, I would like to get them to meet the requirements. I make sure we have two editors from different companies, et cetera. But you know, some of this is a legacy of the fact that we're sort of two groups together. So I think it should be straightforward to move them over if, you know, we have support from folks who actively want to move them forward. Kim or Chris, do you guys have any thoughts? Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, so I think clearly we have the authority. We are, I think I'm listed as the chair of the DVCG. And we said when the three of us took over the CCG that, you know, it was, you know, sort of a subgroup of the CCG. That being said, I don't want to move anything over that isn't active and has our and meets our requirements. So and there are very few that do. So, I'd rather just, you know, literally, you know, make a change at the top saying this is inactive, and then use the GitHub archive feature to kind of lock it as, you know, something in time. And I don't want to move anything that isn't real in some fashion. So.
Okay, thanks, Chris. And I want to, not to put words in your mouth, but my interpretation where I'm standing behind in terms of what's real in some fashion as a cue for you, Manu, because you're next on the queue, is real in terms of public discourse and standards development. I don't think the chairs have any doubts that there is implementation work happening and people are using these technologies. But our role as a community group is to try and get these into a public discourse, and so that's what we're trying to figure out the best way to support. Go ahead, Manu.
Yeah, I was just I'm trying to get the order of operations. So I think it's clear that the DVCG is dead, and what we're trying to figure out is what are we going to salvage from it, and what are we just going to archive and say it's not maintained. My concern is that there are multiple companies that are just using this stuff, like they use software libraries, right? So they don't feel the need to engage on it because they're just using it and it's working for them. So I think the right thing, right order of operations is for us to decide which one of these things we are not necessarily end of lifing, but basically saying, you know, work on this stuff has halted. There is no successor to it. there are implementations here, and kind of leave it at that. And for anything that we do want to continue, I'm fine with us going through the, you know, CCG process of pulling that work over. What I don't want to do is something like, you know, like the RSA signature spec, like it was the implementations for it were done a while ago, and people are using them. They're out of date. But I don't want to signal that we will never support RSA, right? Because I think at some point when a customer of one of us, one of our, the companies that are involved here asks for RSA, we will very quickly dust the spec off, you know, polish it up, make sure the implementations are valid and push it out. But currently no one's clamoring for, you know, RSA support, in the DID sphere. So that I want to make sure that when we message that, you know, these things are not currently supported, I don't want it to make it seem like they will never be supported and this was an evolutionary dead end. Because that's not what's going on here. What's going on is we don't have enough people to work on all of these things simultaneously. Right?
Yep.
So that's it.
Okay, great. Thank you, Manu. Okay, I think that exhausted the queue on that issue. So in terms of moving forward on the cryptos, this issue number 18, Dimitri, you had said you were going to summarize your proposal. I'd like folks to take it to the issue and talk about how we can get there concretely. Carl, I see you on the queue. And after I get to Carl, I want to go back to the remaining issue, which some of these we've already really been talking about. The number three, in fact, let me just introduce it now. Sorry, we'll get to you, Carl. Issue number three is really the same issue with a different spec. So people have already been speaking about them in concert just to bring people's attention to it. We're really talking about both number three and number 18. And I think they both have different paths for do we salvage them or not? How do we move them over or not? We just would like to see that move forward. And thanks, Manu, for the link to 18. And 3 is the other one. And with that, Carl, go ahead.
Hi. So I do want to note that on our end, we are really requiring the support for RSA and are happy to contribute in any way needed for that. Just as a point as to why, we found that the secure enclave on Android doesn't support all signature types, and we're leaning towards using RSA because it does support RSA. So if there's anything that, you know, anybody finds as work that needs to be done to continue supporting it, we're happy to contribute there.
Great. Thank you, Carl. If you could chime in on the issue on number 3, that would be great. We will absolutely leverage your volunteership to help figure out how we keep that moving forward.
Awesome.
We appreciate that a lot. Okay, so I'm not seeing anyone on the queue. That concludes our review of the current issues. Thank you all for that conversation because, you know, we need to move this stuff forward and we know people are busy. And so we look forward to figuring out how to keep that work going, the public part of that work, even as we clean up what's going on in the DCVG, WCG, DVCG. Okay. So that was action items. Next up is update roadmap and planning. Dan, I guess we're putting you on the spot first. If you, I don't know if we actually have 5 minutes for everyone, but where are we with the newly formed DID working group and what's the scope for this year? In particular, I mean, it may just be, hey, go over and look at the DID working group, or if there's something the CCG can do to support you. I know we have registries that we're supporting you with. So what's 2020 look for you, Dan?
Right. You'd asked me to give kind of a status update. I hadn't thought about what the CCG could do, but I'll think about that as I'm talking. So basically the DID working group kicked off at TPAC last year, and since then we have produced a first draft of the did core spec a first draft of the use cases document, and we're now talking about how to get to a first draft of the rubric document. One of the big discussion topics for the main, well, actually, there are three main big discussion topics right now for the DID core spec. One of them has to do with the fact that the specification is currently shows JSON LD, a JSON LD syntax, and does not show a JSON only syntax, even though at the beginning of the document it does say that this is intended to reflect a generic data model, and so other syntactic realizations are possible. So there's some discussion. One of the big topics is about explicitly providing a JSON-only representation, and along with that, potentially coming up with a different way to describe abstractly the data model that underlies underlies DID documents, essentially. And so that's probably the biggest topic that is being discussed right now. There's going to be a lot of time allocated to that at our face-to-face meeting at the end of the month, in addition to some calls that are coming up. The two other big topics right now are metadata within a DID document, and I'm not going to try to define exactly what is metadata because that's part of the discussion, right? What constitutes what someone might consider data about the data in a DID document? And then how does that fit in with how you make use of DID documents more broadly? The third main topic that's come up and is needing discussion is around matrix parameters. And so there are some questions about whether should we have matrix parameters at all. This may be a surprise to some of you who worked on the incubation work for the DID core spec, where we pretty much concluded that we needed matrix parameters. But there are people who are questioning that now. And so there's a discussion about whether they're needed. If they're needed, which parameters are appropriate? Are there some we should standardize? Exactly how that works. So those are pretty much the three main topics. And I would say one of the things that we would like to have is, if there is anyone who has an opinion on these topics, please do join in the discussion on the issues in our GitHub repos. Our GitHub repos are public, and anyone can participate by creating an issue, or can someone please mute who's got a phone ringing in the background? Whoever just said good morning, we can hear you.
Hi, good morning. Oh, yeah. What's that?
Okay. Thank you. Basically, that's what we need is additional input on these particular topics. And so just go to, you can find the links to our repos from the main working group page. You can go to any of the repos and submit new issues or comment on any of the existing issues or pull requests. Because one of the things that's challenging in a working group is that you can often hear, on certain topics, hear just two or three voices. Or you might hear a large group of voices, but that large group of voices might not necessarily still be reflective of the broader community. So please do join in and contribute on those issues. Is there anyone else on the call who can think of something they'd like input on? Manu, perhaps?
I think that was
I'm just
great
picking
summary.
On Manu. Okay. Just picking on you because you're here and I know you follow it.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, the reason why I asked this to be added to the agenda for everybody is that it feels like there is maybe a third, maybe even a half of the CCG community is not
actively watching the DID working group or our members of the W3C, so thus can't participate in those discussions. So, you know, having these periodic reports of, you know, kind of what the discussions are and things of that nature and what, the, you know, the critical issues are, I think is something we'd love to have from you every few months. So that you know, the rest of the community who may be believing that they can depend on things like matrix parameters and things of that nature know they have to speak up somehow in issues and stuff like that. So I appreciate you bringing the report in.
Yeah, thank you. That's a great idea.
Thanks, Chris. I want to interrupt for a little bit of time boxing. So we only have 8 minutes left. We are going to try to get through some of these update and roadmap planning. We're not going to get to the new work item proposal, so we'll put that in a forward event. And I just want to note, the chairs do want to have a full call where we're talking about how do we move forward the JSON LD stuff. So there were two issues, 97 and 88. And we're happy to coordinate with the folks working on that if you want to help schedule a particular day. But I just want to put in the schedule that we will be talking about that in the future. Okay, Dan, next up then. Thank you for that on the DID working group status. Anyone who cares about those things, those three main questions Dan just talked about, it's a great reason to try and make it out to the face-to-face in Amsterdam, which we talked about earlier. With regard to the VC working group, I'd love to get an update on where we are with the chartering process. The CCG is absolutely committed to supporting that. We've sort of signed up for that structurally. So, we just lost Dan Burnett. He had to drop. Okay. I'm thinking, Manu, you might know the most about where the maintenance charter is at.
Yeah, I can report out on that. This group put forward a charter proposal for a maintenance working group for the verifiable credentials working group. So that basically means they're going to station keep the specs, make sure that they track what implementations are doing out in the wild, fix bugs, things like that. It's up to this group to kind of modify the specs, the verifiable credential specs, and provide updates to that. The charter vote ends in 48 hours. So if you have not voted, if you're a W3C member and you have not voted, you have 48 hours, and that's when the vote closes. If the vote is successful, we will have a rechartered verifiable credentials working group for another 42 years. We'll have another VCWG for 2 years, and that will allow us to kind of update the specs and do things like that. So that's the current status. We're waiting for the vote to end in 2 days, and then there'll probably be about a month delay, and then the new working group, if it gets enough votes, will be open for people to join probably late February. That's it.
Great. Thank you, Manu. Next up is Kim. I know we just talked about this in December, so I want to frame it with two things. If you could highlight, is what's the first thing you guys are working on, and what's your main goal to try and accomplish before the end of the year? This is the Educational Credentials Task Force, which I apologize. I don't know what the task force version of the name of that effort is.
Yes. I will need to refresh my memory again post-holiday confusion. 1 second. I think it's verifiable. We changed it up to the last minute. 1 second.
And on that, it's a minor issue about the naming while you look it up. Is that what we should call the task force, or is there – I had a sense of there was an independent group that had its own momentum that is working with the CCG through a task force.
Yes, this is true. And those of us in the ed tech standard space have been working on some better charts about how these efforts work together. Digital Credentials Consortium is the 12 university member effort that finally our white paper is coming out in a week or so. The verifiable credentials for education task force is the public view of that. So the DCC, Digital Credentials Consortium, is not building their own standard. They're, as the white paper calls out, it will be using verifiable credentials, centralized identifiers. This is a collection of universities focused on governance challenge and specific implementation challenges within their domain. So the task force, DCC is not a standards development org. The W3C CCG task force exists to help incubate some of those ideas. So the ones that are called out in the group charter, I'm still unable to find where I put the charter. I think it's, I know where it should be. I'll dig it up in just a sec. So the examples called out there are specific challenges that that we want to work through in the task force. So to be clear, the Digital Credentials Consortium has a roadmap, and but to act on it, we want to start working on very doable prototypes, things like equivalent to open badges as verifiable credentials. So a diploma, MOOC, or multi-user online course certificate, things like this. There's a lot of more difficult challenges, building stackable credentials, ontologies, et cetera, of various educational credentials that will be occurring while things go. So we're working on a combination of how do we get these things actually working now, and then how do we start working on these longer lead problems? So these are the kinds of problems that are they're not just Digital Credentials Consortium. Basically, everything that has to do with using verifiable credentials as for educational claims are things that we'll want to talk with in the task force. Now, because that's a very large scope, we may will probably end up spinning off different efforts as we kind of understand the shape of who shows up and things like that. One common example would be using DIDS to integrate with university authentication systems. There's a lot of just common questions that keep popping up, even including in the publishing industry. So we'll get some different industries mixed in based on certain ideas. Those may be things that would spin off to a separate thing, but basically because we have this whole rich set of problems we want to start discussing publicly, the idea would be to set the priorities there, start executing on that plan within the task force. We're at time, I realized.
We are. But thank you. That was a great update. And I appreciate this distinction between there's the Digital Credentials Consortium, and which is its own thing, and then how we're supporting it is the Verifiable Credentials for Education Task Force. So that's a great clarification for me. So with that, let's wrap up. We'll touch on the DID Resolution Task Force plan for 2020 next week. Thank you all for joining us. We will talk with you next week.